I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 3, as we continue our study of this great Old Testament book. This morning we are going to see more of the details, if you will, of God's faithfulness and how we approach God because of his faithfulness. All right, I'll be reading the entire chapter, Ruth 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies, and then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was merry, and he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, and that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." And she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" And then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Verse 18, she replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." The word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing upon his preached word again this week. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for this example that we have of Ruth. Lord, we thank you for your kindness, that you are our Redeemer. You are, Jesus, strong and you are kind and you love us. In your grace this morning, would you affect our hearts in such a way that we will believe everything that you say? We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Risk and reward. Risk and reward. 2 words that typically go together when we think about some type of financial investment. If you want a great reward, you got to take a little bit of risk. If you don't want much reward, you don't have to take much risk. That's how it works. That makes perfect sense as it applies to more things than just finances. In any area of life, if you want a great reward, there might be a little bit of risk. And anything that's risky is often a little bit scary. We're going to see this highlighted in our passage today. Steve Jobs, the inventor of the iPhone, which all smart people use, of course, when he was 12 years old, Steve Jobs called Bill Hewlett, him of Hewlett-Packard, This 12-year-old was on the phone. He calls Bill Hewlett and says, "I need some spare computer parts for something I'm working on." Bill Hewlett thought, "Who on earth is this 12-year-old bothering me asking for spare computer parts?" It was Steve Jobs. Hewlett gave him the parts and thought, "How strange. But you know what? Just give it to him. What does he have to lose?" Steve Jobs took that and began what turned into ultimately his brain using all that would turn into the iPhone. The uniqueness of that story? Steve Jobs asked for something. He was bold in his request. He took a risk. Now, what does that have to do with our study today? Let me put it this way. In your relationship with God, wherever you may be this morning, maybe you're a visitor for the first time, you're hearing the love of Jesus, or maybe you've been in the church for decades and decades and decades. Is your faith willing to take a risk? Are you willing to have a high view of who God is and all that he can do? Or do you want to play it safe and predictable? We're going to see this morning a woman of faith go to her Redeemer with a great hope of an unimaginable reward. All right, let me put this back into context. If you've been here this summer, you know we're going through the book of Ruth. We know that the book of Ruth is one ongoing love story. It's a love story of a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law and all the trouble that they go through. We see today this love story between Ruth and Boaz. And Boaz, we were introduced to last week in chapter 2. But mostly, this is a love story that God has for his people, his covenantal love. In this Old Testament book, we see the promises of God ultimately to his people in Christ, specifically the love that God has for those who are connected to the story. We've said this every week, but Ruth's great-grandson was King David. And God made a promise to King David that he would always have an heir on the throne, and we know that as Jesus. So as we read Ruth, we understand the love of Christ and more details of this great story. So remember the people here. Naomi, the mother-in-law, an Israelite. Ruth, a Moabite, the daughter-in-law. And Boaz, this relative of Ruth, who was introduced as a kinsman redeemer. The uniqueness of Naomi and Ruth, of course, they're widows, they're poor, they have no children, they have no land, they are just hoping to survive. And Boaz, we see as this kind and gracious man, represents an Old Testament prefigure of Jesus himself. When we study him, when we see someone who helps us to understand the person of Christ, a redeemer. This entire book of Ruth is about the powerful love that God has for those of us in Christ. So this Boaz is hugely important. So the question I want you to consider this morning, how do you approach your Savior? We're going to see Ruth go to Boaz, and she is bold in her request. How do you approach your Savior? How do you go to Jesus? How do you go to your Redeemer? Again, this passage is brilliant in the Hebrew writing of how we should think about Jesus, and it should be that of great expectation. I want to look at this in two parts: the risk of our faith and then the reward of our faith, and think about our relationship with Christ. And my hope and my prayer is that we will go to God in the name of Jesus with incredible boldness. All right, first, look back at verses 1 through 9 and think about the risk of faith. And this entire story of Ruth chapter 3 is a little bit crazy. It really is. Verses 1 and 2, we see that Naomi cares deeply for the future of her daughter-in-law. The two of them are now back into Bethlehem. The immediate needs that they have exist, but their long-term needs are still unsettled. So Naomi cooks up a plan that is crazy. I mean, this is the mother-in-law of all time, of the plan that she comes up with for her daughter-in-law. Her ploy was to position Ruth to be in the same place as Boaz, this man for whom she's been working, but who she has never met. Now, there are some cultural nuances at play here, and the Hebrew writing is meant to kind of cause us to be a little unsettled about what's going on. That's the point. Kind of to make you sit on the edge of your seat and be like, is this really happening in the Bible? But the point is to see the intentionality of it all. Notice Naomi's plan for Ruth. Verse 3, she wants her to wash herself. That's always a good idea. To anoint herself, that is to put perfume on. To put on her cloak, that would have been her best clothing. To make sure that no one sees you, that is to sneak out. To let Boaz eat and drink until he falls asleep. And then to wait. And wait until he's asleep, and then softly uncover his feet and lie down by his feet. And then the plan is to simply wait and see what he tells her to do. To wait at that moment and see if he will respond with anger or encouragement. Verse 5, upon hearing the scheme, how does Ruth respond to her mother-in-law's kind of crazy idea? She could have been like, what on earth are you talking about? But instead, Ruth has entrusted her life to Naomi, and she simply says, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll take the risk. I'll go for it. And the risk was great. So consider Boaz. Here he was. He's going to be awakened. Would he be angry? Would he felt manipulated? He could have embarrassed her. He could have violated her. He could have sent her away. He could have fired her. There could be the chance of no more food coming from him. She didn't know what he would say or what he would do. The possibilities are limitless. Verse 7. The plan, though, went as expected. Boaz was asleep. He ate. He drank. The plan went perfectly executed. Sometime in the night, before midnight, she softly uncovered his feet. And then she laid down beside them. And around midnight, sensing the presence of someone in his bed, at the foot of his bed, which would have been frightening, he saw a person there. And naturally he asked, who are you? Can you imagine? In verse 9, at the height of the risk for Ruth, she goes for it. And she said, I am Ruth, your servant. She tells the truth. Now remember, Naomi instructed her to wait for him to speak, but she didn't do that. Ruth goes further than Naomi even instructed. The risk was greater. She said to him, before he had a chance to speak himself, she said, spread your wing over your servant, for you are a redeemer. Spread your wing over your servant, for you are a redeemer. What was Ruth doing? What did this mean? What was she up to in the middle of the night? Now we know from Ezekiel chapter 16 that this phrase, a statement, spread your wing over your servant, it was a marriage proposal. That's what it was. Boaz would have understood this completely. He would have known what was going on when he heard those words spoken. So here's the situation. Make sure we all are on the same page here. Here's a poor, working, single, widowed Moabite woman with no children, no land, no hope, showing up in the middle of the night in the home of a wealthy Israelite businessman, and she proposed marriage to him as a surprise. What could go wrong? I mean, right? This is all crazy. Seriously. This is a risk of faith. Everything could go wrong. What do we make of the story? What do we make of this act of boldness? What do we make of what Ruth and Naomi are attempting to do? How do we think about this today? I think there are a couple things that we have to notice. Now, first, and I mean this as a joke, please understand this. If you're hoping to get engaged, this is not the biblical pattern. I know it's in the Bible, but it's not the biblical pattern. So all single ladies of Tate's Creek Presbyterian Church, this is not the model to follow here. But rather, the application is to consider the intentionality of the boldness of going to your Redeemer. Yes, I think this is what this passage is about. Think about the motivation behind all of the boldness of what Naomi thought of and what Ruth did. It was not about Ruth's beauty. It wasn't about her wealth. It wasn't about anything about her. Why was she so bold in her request? It's in verse 9. It's because of who she knew Boaz to be. She said, "You are a redeemer." Her confidence was based on his position. Her boldness was based on his title. She was desperate, poor, and single, but he was not. He was a redeemer. So she went in total boldness. She believed what God's word said was true, and she acted upon it. You see, here's what was going on. In her boldness, she went to the Redeemer with this proposal, saying, "I don't just want you to take care of me. I want to be your wife. I want you to delight in me. I want you to love me. I want all of your heart to be given to me. I want to be treasured by you. Yes, I want you to take care of me and my mother-in-law, but I want all that you have for me." That's what she was asking. "I want to be with you forever. I want to be delighted in by you, the Redeemer." That's the boldness. That's the proposal. "I want it all." See the language carefully. It's a little bit even more risky than it first appears. If you notice, there are no questions asked. Ruth didn't ask for marriage. She appealed for marriage because of who Boaz was. She took seriously the promise that he was a redeemer. Simply put, she didn't want a little bit of redemption. She wanted it all. Everything the Redeemer had, she wanted. So, church, remember this. Galatians chapter 4 says this: Jesus came to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption. You see who Jesus is this morning? He's our Redeemer. Ruth models for us how you go to your Redeemer. Jesus said this: "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He is saying, "Come to me boldly." You know, over the last month or so, we've had a couple of weddings here at TCPC that I've had the opportunity to officiate. For whatever reason, this has been on my mind in both of these last two weddings. Why do we focus so much on the bride at the wedding? I mean, really, it is all about the bride, is it not? We all stand when the bride walks in. The groom typically cries when he sees the bride. All eyes are on the bride. The bride has special music. The bride has special clothing. All eyes, all energy, all attention are all on the bride. Why does the bride get all the glory? I think we know why. It's because in that moment of a marriage ceremony, of a wedding, the bride represents the bride of Christ. Jesus calls us his bride. When Jesus looks at us as his bride, he delights in us, he treasures us. We are his joy. That's what Ruth understood to be true. She trusted, if Boaz is the Redeemer, therefore I want all of him. A number of years ago, I remember in one of Robert Cunningham's sermons, I don't remember the passage he was preaching, but I remember his application point. He said that in his pastoral ministry, he had found the number one struggle that most people have is that deep down, they don't really believe God loves them. They know it academically, but deep down, they just struggle to believe, does God really enjoy me? Scripture says he does, but do we believe it? You know, I don't know that I have found that to be true in my pastoral ministry, that I see it all the time, but I can tell you this. I find that to be true in my own life as a follower of Jesus. That I know it's true, but I have a hard time believing it consistently. That God truly delights in me. Do you see what Ruth models for us? Her attitude essentially, if you are my Redeemer, I'm going to you with total trust. Total belief for everything. All right, so that's Ruth. That's the risk. She's willing to risk it all on the Redeemer's love for her. So now, how does Boaz respond? That really is the question. Let's look at part two. Notice the reward of our faith. Look at verses 10 through 18. It really does matter, doesn't it? The first words out of Boaz's mouth. If he had said no, this would be a whole different story. But in verse 10, let the tension build in your heart and in your mind. Boaz heard this proposal. He understood exactly what it meant. And his response, and I quote, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter." His answer is simply this: "Yes, yes, 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 I'll redeem you. Yes, I'll marry you. You have come to me in desperation and you have asked for this need. I absolutely will give it." The reward of Ruth's faith, Boaz said, "I will do all that you have asked." Do you see what happened? The Redeemer wants the redeemed. The Redeemer loves the redeemed. Boaz wanted to give redemption. Boaz heaps praise upon Naomi and Ruth at this moment. He said of Ruth about her integrity of not pursuing younger men, her desire to care for her mother-in-law. He tells her not to fear. He lets her know that her reputation in the town is noble. He heaps praise upon her. His delight in her is already being realized. In verse 14, she stayed for the night in order to be protected. As Will mentioned last week, Boaz truly was strong and kind. He was loving at the very beginning. He sent her home with a deposit of more food, heaping praise and mercy and grace upon her. But then in verse 12, just like all love stories, there's a little hiccup along the way. There's a problem. You know, we're not going to go right to the end so fast. Every Hallmark movie, there's a plot always thickens. Verses 12 through 14, Boaz informed Ruth of this kinsman who is closer in relation than him. That is, for this marriage to happen, a process must be followed, including informing this other family member. Meaning, for Ruth, for Naomi, there was a delay. They had to wait. What did this mean for them? What they were promised would not happen immediately. In that very moment, their redemption was promised. It was secured. Their hopes were, in fact, going to be fulfilled. There's going to be a marriage. It's coming. All of her hopes and dreams, it was going to happen. But first, she had to wait. She had to wait. The outcome, yes, it was secure. The promises, the provision, the grace, it's all there. But there's a process that had to be followed. And waiting had to occur. Church, doesn't that sound a bit like our lives today? Think about our redemption in Christ. We have it all, and yet we wait for the day of the marriage supper of the Lamb to come, when Jesus returns and our redemption is over. This morning in Christ, we have his promises, we have his spirit, we have his body, the church, we have the sacraments. We have Jesus now. And we wait for even more. How do you suppose Ruth and Naomi waited that day? Were they filled with anxiety? I don't think so. I think they were overflowing with joy. I imagine, based on the person who made the promise and what they knew to be true of him, their hearts burned with excitement over the words of their Redeemer. Boaz was returning. It's too good to be true. It's real. So as we await the fullness and the return of Christ, we wait with joy. Now let me say this, and then we'll end with this observation from the text. I believe that the reward of the promises of Jesus are the only thing that will truly give meaning to our lives. I really believe that. But there's a reason I suggest that it's true, and it's not just as a preacher I'm supposed to say it. But notice what the writer of Ruth does to give us an incredible clue about our life today. Look back at verse 1. And we'll compare this to verse 18. Notice what Naomi tells Ruth in verse 1. She said, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you?" Rest. Glorious rest. Security. Free from the harassment. All that it means, glorious rest. And now look at the end of the chapter. It begins with rest. Now notice verse 18. Naomi spoke to her again, but this time she said, "Wait, my daughter, the man will not rest, but will settle the matter." Do you see what happened? Boaz was not going to rest until this marriage happened. The Redeemer was not going to rest until he had Ruth. Boaz was now on a mission. Nothing mattered to Boaz in his life about anything other than the redemption of Ruth. Here's the message. Church, the Redeemer is in love. Boaz was in love with Ruth. It's not just that he agreed to take her, he wanted her. And now he's at work. He's on mission. He was going to do all that was required to have his bride. So whatever you're going through this afternoon, whatever hardship you're in, whatever disappointment you face, can you accept Jesus will not stop doing all that must be done for you to know his love for you? Your Redeemer Jesus is at work. He is not resting. The root of your hope, the reason you can take a risk of faith, is because he is at work. He is alive. In church, see this morning, he's in love with us. You all know the greatest risk ever taken? There's a lot. It wasn't Ruth going in that night. It wasn't Naomi coming up with this plan. Though that was risky. It's not the greatest risk. The greatest risk ever was our Savior putting on flesh and becoming one of us and leaving his throne in heaven and entering into our story in order to have his reward. Church, do you know what his reward is? It's you and me. Jesus thinks we are worth it. For him to take the risk to get his reward, we are treasured by him. He gets us, and we get to have him. In Jesus' estimation, him leaving heaven to come here was worth it. He gets us. Do you see his love this morning? That's how much he loves us. That's what the story of Ruth is. It's convincing us his love is worth it. So how do we live this morning, knowing that his love is true? I hope for all of us, I hope this for myself, I hope that his love motivates me in such a way that I have great anticipation of him. I have great expectation of him. I have great hope in him, and that we go in boldness to him. We'll come around the table with this last thought. In Charles Wesley's great hymn, "And Can It Be?" he closes with these words. Wesley says, "No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness. Therefore, bold I approach his eternal throne, and I claim the crown through Christ my own. This is our life. Jesus, your Redeemer, loves you. Build your entire life upon him. Take the risk of loving Christ because he loves you." Amen? Amen. Let me pray. I'll transition us to the Lord's Prayer, and then we will come and feast with our Redeemer this morning. Father, as we consider this story, as we consider these promises, it's my hope, it's my prayer that you would build our faith in such a way that we would truly believe this morning you delight in us. Lord, of course, we deserve none of this, but that is the point. You have chosen to redeem us. Oh, Father, cause us to build our lives upon this fact. And now we pray, oh God, as you taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.